Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I think winter's here.
Well, I would hope so. I looked down at the calendar earlier this week, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I can't believe that we're now less than 2 weeks away from Thanksgiving. I'm shocked.
That's right. It's getting close. Everybody's going to have to make decisions. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
If they're cooking, if they're going out, if they're ordering in, you know, we got lots of choices.
Yeah. In fact, we almost have too many choices. And because there's also delivery on top of it that can be done, too. It's weird.
Did you know that the prices are just all over the place this year? I saw one restaurant that was $100 a head.
No. Are you serious?
I wonder if it's a misprint. Surely it is.
I don't know. Wow. $100
a person. It's got to be a misprint. Yeah, it was $100.
Golly.
I go, there's not anything on earth for Thanksgiving that's worth $100 a head.
I can't imagine what they would serve for that.
I can't either, because this year most of them are not even offering sweet potatoes. They're doing scalloped potatoes. All these places where you do takeout, they're on this kick about scalloped potatoes. What's wrong with them?
Really? And everybody's doing it. It's not just one or two.
No, I saw it in about five different places, scalloped potatoes.
What's up with this? Is there a shortage of, like, sweet potatoes someplace? Or
I don't know. you know, but they can always go by Roadhouse. You know, they make the baked sweet potatoes. They could pick them up there.
Yeah. Oh, those are delicious. Mm.
Those are delicious. So that's one thought. If you're ordering everything and they say, no, just scalloped potatoes, go to Texas Roadhouse. Get your baked sweet potatoes there.
That's good thinking. I never thought about that.
Yeah, well, you got to think about all that.
Well,
then the choices, you know, whether you're going to have turkey, whether you're going to have ham, you know, what are you going to have?
What are you going to have? Have you decided?
Definitely turkey.
Delicious. That's the way it should
That's
be.
That's right. Then you got to decide which kind you want.
Oh, I know.
You're going to serve with it. And I saw some pies at one place were $38 to $40.
Oh, my gosh. For one pie?
Well, that's what it looked like to me.
Wow. I would almost expect a case of pies for that, or maybe
that's
you know,
right.
three.
But then go to Buttermilk Pie. Remember, Buttermilk Skiva makes all those delicious pies.
Yeah, they do.
So you can get your pies there. Mm. You don't have to do that. I mean, make it simple.
Yeah.
You know, order everything. Go buy Buttermilk Sky if there's one near you. But you've got to order it in advance. Remember, all this stuff has to be ordered in advance. You've got to get your name in and tell them what day you're picking up.
Why, I tell you what, you know, that was always one of the big things about Thanksgiving is not only the preparation, but then the cooking and then the cleanup. It takes so many hours. Whoever started to get on the bandwagon and say, hey, here's a problem. We can fix this for Thanksgiving so that people don't have to, you know, spend hours cooking and cleaning and all that. We'll just create the whole feast. You put it in the oven, warm it up, and you're good to go. Whoever came up with that is a genius. I mean, my word.
They are truly a genius. Because they know that people are busy. A lot of people don't have time to cook anymore. They work. And this is the best idea in the world.
Yeah.
It's not now, like at my house, they're expecting Jell-O, all those fancy Jell-O salads, but it isn't going to happen.
Have you told them? Have you broke the news yet? Or is it gonna...
I broke the news. They started talking about it. I said, wait a minute. This is a new deal. That's not happening.
No more Jell-O. It's
no,
out.
We're not doing all those fancy Jell-O recipes, you know? All these things that I've done for 100 years, we're doing it simple, you know?
Wow.
What I can bring in and heat is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it takes hours to cook. Then you've got to do cleanup. Then when they're through, you've got all the huge mess in the kitchen. And you've got another 3 hours cleaning up.
I know it. Oh,
it's a three-hour cleanup.
Yeah. And look how many times you have to run the dishwasher. What, at least three or four? Oh,
yeah, and look how many things do not go in the dishwasher.
Oh, yeah.
Not on Thanksgiving because you're using your best china. you're using your silverware.
Oh, yeah.
And you're using the good glasses. They can't go in the dishwasher.
No, they can't.
And the dinner plates say, no way.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
So all that. And then you've used your good porcelain bowls. They can't go in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
So all those beautiful bowls have to be hand washed. So you're looking at 2.5 to 3 hours of cleanup.
God, all this for just one lunch, one day.
One meal. one meal.
Wow.
And then who, I hate to say this, but who's going to stay and help you clean up?
Well, exactly. Nobody. They scatter like.
They do. They scatter like pheasants. Yeah. What amazes me, you could say, well, okay, let's do dishes. And people start saying, you know, I have to get home early today. I have this and this to do. And you're watching them walk out the door. But before they left, they said, may we take some things home with us?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. You get all your plastic bowls for them and let them fill everything up. And then they scatter out.
Of course, now the smart people can use that to their advantage. If anyone gets unruly and you want them to leave, just throw out, hey, we're going to do dishes now. Who wants to help? And watch them go home.
They do go home very fast.
Oh, my.
And they go, oh, thank you. As they're going out the door, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, and, you know, one year we had it catered.
Yeah.
And that was very nice. That was very, very nice.
I bet it was. I would almost bet, and I don't know for sure, but I would bet that even when you had it catered, it was less than $100 a head.
I'm not even going to tell you what it costs.
Oh, God.
Caterers are expensive. It runs $600 and up.
Are you serious? Oh, wow. I had no idea.
I am serious.
Oh, my.
Well, because it's not going to be your ordinary fare. They're going to bring you desserts that are, you know, really scrumptious. They're going to have, like, lobster bisque.
It's
like dining at a fine restaurant.
Oh, I didn't realize they were
serving
that. So
they're going to charge for that. They're not just bringing turkey and dressing.
Oh, I didn't know it was lobster bisque.
And those people charge a lot for that.
Oh.
Especially when they come on Thanksgiving Day to serve.
Oh, my gosh.
That's where the rub is.
Yeah. Oh.
Because most people deliver the day before and say, here, put it in the refrigerator and heat it up.
Yeah. But when they cater, there's an actual chef that comes out on Thanksgiving and prepares
and brings
all of it.
Yes, the chef and an assistant will come to your house.
And they're not just, I assume, that it's not, I mean, they make it there. They don't, like, bring it in and you heat it up in the oven.
No, they do. They've already cooked everything.
Oh.
And they bring in these huge deals. It's heated. It's ready for dinner right then.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
But boy.
They bring it in and do all this.
Okay, so you did that at one time.
That was a one-time deal. I've done a lot of things one time. I love an experiment. My family used to say, why do you pick special days to experiment?
You should, you know, have a practice run.
That's right. I should do this once before we hire them. But you've got to make sure they've got good references, that they've been in business a long time. You don't want someone that says, well, we just started this year. I mean, don't do that. They need a track record.
Yeah.
They need to have been in business, you know, maybe 10 years or 7 years, long enough that when you look them up, it shows how many stars they've got.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want somebody who's just, this is their first time and it's an experiment.
We do not want an amateur that's trying to, you know, well, I need to make some money, I'll cook for you. No, we don't want that. We need somebody with experience.
Oh, my word.
Oh, and another thing, if they say they're serving Brussels sprouts, go right on by.
Oh, my word, really? Oh.
One of the places I cooked a call this year, I said, well, what are your vegetables, please? Oh, we're having Brussels sprouts. I thanked them very much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
we're not having Brussels sprouts at my house on Thanksgiving.
So what's the final menu? Are you going with turkey, obviously?
We're going with turkey. We're going to have sweet potatoes. We're going to have jalapeno corn.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of things. We're probably going to have some gumbo.
Oh, you love gumbo.
I do love gumbo with shrimp in it, by the way.
Oh, my word.
That's what makes it so good. And we're going to have a green bean casserole.
Mm.
We'll have those beautiful butter rolls with butter.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
We're going to have pecan pie. We're going to have pumpkin pie.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, with ice cream on it.
Oh. I'm a little surprised because I kind of thought you might have them throw in a little bit of etouffee because I know how you are about that.
I do. That's exactly right. And I don't know if we'll have that or not. It is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But I haven't made the final order yet.
Really? Uh-oh.
No. I'm waiting until Sunday to make the order.
Well, is that going to be enough time?
I think so.
You think so?
It better be.
Oh boy!
Because I'm just thinking about which kind of turkey I want. Do I want the turkey with the shrimp inside, the jambalaya inside, the dressing inside, or do I want just a regular turkey, either the black pepper turkey, the herb turkey, the jalapeno turkey? I mean, there's 10 times the turkey. I mean, you know, you got to make all these decisions.
Oh, my. You know, back in the day, we had turkey, and that was it. You put it in the bag, you throw it in the oven, and that was it. And now we got all these different kinds and these different ways to cook it. Then there's the turducken. Have you ever had a turducken?
Yes, I'm considering that.
Oh.
But then you have to think about the little children.
What can
they eat, you know? Mm. So how far out can we go?
Yeah. Well, and if you're having a whole bunch of people and you have to get like two of everything, then you might be pushing it. It might be a little bit tight.
Yeah, it might be a little tricky.
Wow. Oh, my. Yeah, you don't want to go too spicy for the kids. Do the kids like spice, or are they? Is it too?
No, I don't think the jalapeno dishes is going to be for them.
So,
you know, the jalapeno turkey, I think, you know, they've injected that thing. So, you know, it's going to be everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When you start injecting turkey with different flavors and stuff, yeah, it pretty much infuses the whole thing.
That's right. Once you've injected that thing, whatever it was, if it's jalapeno, whatever it is, it should be throughout the turkey.
Yeah.
So everybody has got to like that type of turkey,
and
a
if
jalapeno
they don't.
Turkey or something, you know. So you just never know which one you're going to have to do.
Yeah, and you got to pick one that
and
everybody
you don't know
likes.
And you don't know whether you're going to have to do a whole turkey or a turkey breast.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing, too. It's, you know, depending on your sides. And then what happens is usually when you plan it like this, you start thinking, well, let's do this. And then, well, so-and-so doesn't like this. Well, then we can do this. And then it's like, oh, this other person doesn't like something else. And so you think, oh, for them, we can do it. And before you know it, you have like 15 different versions of the same dish, 12 different turkeys, just to make sure everybody's covered. It can get out of hand.
It could get out of hand, but what you do is say, these are the two choices, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way you do that.
Yeah.
Or if you're worried about it, do a ham and a turkey.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's true.
So they're going to like one or the other. They're going to have to.
Wow. Yeah. But boy, if you're waiting till tomorrow to put in the order, it might be a little bit, tight. So I hope, the experiment works out well.
I do too. Well, I had these last minute thoughts, see, that I have to make a decision on. So I said, well, you know, just wait till then. Well, and they better not be out of anything.
Oh, my word. Yeah, that's another thing. Oh, gosh. If they're out, then you're in trouble.
Then I'll be back to cooking again.
Yes. And then, you know, they're all going to enjoy, mocking that.
They're going to enjoy it because they didn't have to cook. Yeah. Let's face it. Everybody likes to go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving because they don't have to cook.
Yeah.
And they usually don't clean up. So, you know, it's 100% for the guests.
Yeah. Of course, now it's also a treat if you could be like the host and still not have to, you know, wash dishes and do all the cleanup that goes with it. You know, I know you've done this kind of thing before. And I think from what I remember, I think you thought it was great. It was everybody won.
I thought so. And the other thing is, you know, many years we've went to the country club.
Yeah.
And I opted out of that this year because my daughter-in-law fell and has a crack in her neck.
Oh my goodness. Oh.
So I have to do it at home. What happened? She had surgery on her feet. And, you know, those little shoes they have you wear?
Oh, yeah.
She tripped on one of them.
No.
And, now has a crack in her neck. I mean,
oh, my word. That sounds serious. I hope she's okay.
I hope so, too. They went up to do an MRI. It was a closed MRI, and she panicked and couldn't do that.
Oh, yeah. That's tough. That's claustrophobic.
She's very claustrophobic. I didn't know that, but apparently she is.
Wow.
They should have just given her something, knocked her out, and done.
Yeah.
That's my theory. Just knock the old girl out and go on.
See, now that sounds all simple when you put it like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would have simplified that deal real fast.
Oh, my. Well, gosh, I hope she's okay. It sounds like it's going to be a great feast. It's going to be a great gathering. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful day. I'm in shock that we're like less than 2 weeks away. It's just what happened. It seemed like last week was just Halloween, and before that we were celebrating the beginning of summer, and now here we are at the holidays already. I'm shocked.
Well, and you know, it's fast moving right now. Everything is fast moving.
Yeah.
And Target has come back to saying Merry Christmas.
Have
Wonder
they?
How many million they had to lose before they realized they need to have Merry Christmas.
Wow. All right. I didn't know we were back to it, but yay, that's a great thing.
And Neiman's. You know, Neiman Marcus has been known for their Christmas catalog for, 100 years?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that is the epitome to get the catalog from Neiman's, right?
Yeah.
The women that get that just go crazy. And now they're saying, they're not saying Merry Christmas on it.
What?
I think it's Happy Holidays.
Oh.
But you know, the people that are running Neiman's have run it into the ground. if the Marcuses and the Neiman's were alive, they'd be firing people left, right. They wouldn't put up with this because they were the true pioneers of fine goods, taking care of the customers. And Christmas was a big deal to the Neiman's and the Marcuses. They loved Christmas. They loved their Christmas catalog. And for these idiots that are running it now, we can't say Merry Christmas. Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. So Target is back to it, and then Neiman is going the other way.
They're going the other way. They've got these progressives that they have put in charge, and that's why they're selling to Saks, because they've run it in the ground twice.
Is it twice?
Twice they've messed it up.
Oh, my. Well, that's a shame, because I used to love the catalog, and it was always a big deal.
I loved the catalog. And they always said that his and her gifts, you know, that was outrageous.
Yeah.
It was, you know, so much money you couldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
And they always had such great his and her gifts for Christmas.
Yeah. Great stuff to look at. And they would have all these different, it's not only just the item, but it was like the displays, too. There's something that was, I don't know, maybe classy isn't the right word, but it was.
It is classy, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Neiman's was the gold standard.
Yeah.
If you bought it at Neiman's, it said something.
Yeah, it did.
It might not be a big gift, but if it just had the Neiman's label on it, people went crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was a big deal.
It was a big deal, and for the husband to get you something from Neiman's, it was really a big deal.
Yeah, it was special, all right. Gosh, now, I hate to see things like that go downhill. That's.
I do too, because. It's the end of an era as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Wow. What a shame. Well, this holiday definitely is different than last, and we said the same thing last year about the year before. So here we are.
Well, and people are going a lot more casual. The gifts they're buying is a lot different than they used to be. Luxury is not quite as luxury as it used to be.
No, it's changed.
I mean, everybody would splurge on that one big gift. I think now people are being a lot more sensible in their giving.
Yeah, yeah. Not going for quite the outrageous, crazy things anymore. A little, I don't want to say practical, but a little bit more maybe down-to-earth-ish.
Yeah, I think they are. I think they're thinking, you know, hard times might come. Maybe we shouldn't spend quite so much. You know, maybe a new Rolls is out of the question.
Yeah. Oh, wow. If that was ever in the question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know one year, I believe they gave his and her Rolls Royces at Neiman's.
Really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
They've given such outrageous things that were hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this year, I don't even know what the catalog has in it.
Wow. Yeah, I had
But
to
it'll have
year.
Something outrageous, I'm sure.
Wow. Oh, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
We probably ought to talk about money before you start getting phone calls.
We better
calls.
Start talking about money to pay for all this Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive this year. Oh, my. So how are we on policies and whatnot?
We have bid a lot of policies. We don't have any ready right now. The two we had, we've already filled. Those are through. But we've got several really good ones we're bidding on. They're all short, like 16 months. One is a little longer, but we don't know which ones we're going to get. But the bidding is on. The bidding doesn't end till the end of next week on one of them, and one of them doesn't start till the 20th. One that we really wanted to buy, they said no, we couldn't bid on it yet. That the bidding isn't going to start till the 20th. So we won't know about that one. But we do have several others that we are bidding right now.
Interesting. Is that a thing? Do they have like windows that you can bid starting on a certain date through another date?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know
this
that.
This is a $3 million one that we really would like to have.
Oh, wow.
And we thought that the bidding had opened. And so we turned our bid in. They said, oh, no, we're not going to open the bids till the 20th.
Wow. I guess I always assumed that by the time you get one to bid on, the window was already open. I didn't realize it was...
Lots of times it is, but then sometimes these people say, no, we have something else we're going to add to it, so we don't want to do it right now.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And that starts, what, the 20th, you said?
Yeah, on the 20th, and it's a large policy.
Wow.
The others are small, like $150,000 apiece, so they'll probably just go to one or two people, maybe one on each one. Because they are small.
Hmm. All right. Well, I mean, it sounds like things are happening and the wheels are turning. It's just a matter of, you know, responding to the market and kind of, you know, going with what's available. So it sounds like things are in good shape. Would you say yes?
I think so. And the mayor policy that we've been in a dispute with, we have settled that. Everybody will be getting all their money back and we'll start over.
Hmm. I don't remember that
we don't know. I think it'll be a couple of weeks before that money hits their bank account.
Okay. But it's all settled and straightened out and everything's handled. Cool. Well, then that's great. But I guess when it comes down to it, it's not really life settlements are not really a seasonal thing. There's not really a slow time or a fast time or, you know, anything like that. It's just kind of like when people put their policies up for sale, it's not really dependent on any. You know, people spend a lot in the fourth quarter, and retail kind of depends. It's kind of seasonal. With policies and stuff, it doesn't work that way, right? It's just kind of like the same thing.
No,
steady.
It's when they become available. Everybody's doing a lot of advertising for policies right now. Abacus, Coventry, different companies, their ads, you see them every day on television. because they're trying to buy policies where they can sell them to people like us. So, you know, they're the wholesaler. So right now we're just they're kind of regrouping. In other words, they've got ads in. They're trying to buy them. They've got to see if they're suitable. They know what most of the people want, you know, that we want short term. And of course, a lot of them don't do cancer. We try to stick with the cancer policies.
Yeah.
And every once in a while we'll do an ALS, but not very often.
Yeah, it's like you see these commercials on TV for, you know, these other ones like you were talking about, like Coventry and whatnot, and they're buying policies, and you see somebody, you know, sitting out in the backyard, and they're drinking, you know, lemonade and reading the paper or something, and there's people like underground, and they're hollering, you got money in your policy. Those are not, those are people that are just looking to make money by selling their policies. It's a very, very different niche.
That's completely different. They don't give them hardly anything. You know, we've looked it up what they're giving them, and they're giving them like 18 to 20%.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, if there's nothing wrong with them, they're not getting a lot of money.
Yeah, and those policies,
now they make it sound like they gave them enough money to go around the world.
Yeah, they do.
That's not true. They did not give them enough money to go around the world.
No, barely enough for a sandwich.
That's right.
Yeah, and those types of policies, the ones that they're buying, that they're advertised on TV, those may not, you know, mature for 30, 40 years. I mean, it's...
Yeah, so the risk factor is very great.
Yes.
You're buying something that may be a long, long way off.
Yeah, and that's what makes what you're doing so, I guess, profitable, is just the fact that you're looking for specific types.
Right, and we ours are not in mutual funds.
Mm.
The people that are doing mutual funds, I don't know how that's going to work out. Because they'll buy anything and put it in a mutual fund. But then, even though they're not going to get money on those policies for years, they're guaranteeing them a certain income, which I don't know how you can do that.
Really?
Because it's coming out of the mutual fund's pocket for the next 5 to 10 years.
Well,
and no income. How can they think they can do that? You know, we know one of them that didn't work.
How do those types of mutual funds even make any – I mean, is there –
I can't figure out how they're going to make money.
Huh.
They're going to eventually have to start buying policies on somebody that's terminal. That's the only way you can get the income up.
Wow. I guess I didn't quite realize that that's exactly what they were doing. It kind of it makes me scratch
they have
my
no,
head.
You don't get income unless you have somebody passing away.
Yeah. Interesting. Well,
yeah, so I'm standing by to see what happens on that.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, your whole point is for faster returns. It's not the kind of thing, though, that people should say, hey, I'm going to, you know, get into life settlements, then I'm going to get into a policy, and then I'm going to go ahead and retire. The way this is designed is for people to diversify their portfolio over several years. It's not like a get-rich kind of thing that happens overnight.
No, you're not going to get rich with one policy. And it's steady as you go. You know, when the people mature, we pay. And a lot of people have a large portfolio with us. And, you know, every time they get extra money, they put it with us because they know that they'll get a better return than almost anywhere in town.
Yeah. How about annuities? I know that there were bonuses for a while. It was a theory that maybe they might be going away, is what they said. Has that?
Well, now that the economy and the presidency is settled, they're raising their rates again.
Really?
On their little fixed rate policies, which is like a CD, those are back up to 5.5%.
Really? Weren't they hovering around 4?
Yeah, they went down to just about 4%. So they're up a point. And it looks like that the annuity clients over the next 4 or 5 years will do very, very well because the election's been settled. It looks like it's going to be gung-ho. I think all the changes are going to be made. It's going to be for the best. And I think the annuity clients are going to make a lot of money. That's just kind of the way I feel about it.
Wow. So it's even better than what it was before, and it was pretty spectacular.
It was good before, but it's going to be a lot better now.
Wow.
I think that the returns are going to be great, and I think they're going to see a big difference in their next statements.
And didn't they just make some changes to annuities where they kind of tweaked?
They did. They tweaked all these indexes, took out some that were not performing well, put some in that they have a great track record. And they sent me a statement showing since inception what each one of these indexes have paid. And it is good. So we're making the changes to the different indexes, putting those in. I think everybody's going to do very, very well. I think it's a very positive sign. They didn't take the bonuses out. We thought they were going to because things were looking kind of bad. You know, it looked like the interest rates were going to drop, and they didn't take it out. So we've still got the 13% bonus going in. So that first year we've got the bonus plus whatever it makes. And then the next 3 years, you get a bonus on every dime you put in.
Wow.
So, that's a good thing.
It's like in the last couple of weeks, we've gone from a state of uncertainty where we thought, you know, the rates would drop. Not only did that not happen, and not only did they maintain status quo, but interest rates have gone up and gotten better. It's just, this is just a great way to, I guess, end the fourth quarter.
I think it is, because I think we're going to make a lot more money. I think that we're going to be really glad when we get the next statements, the end of the year in 25, 26. I think we're going to see a tremendous gain. I really do.
Yeah. And, you see the stock market these days. I guess the great thing with annuities, when I see, things like the way that things are performing with annuities, we all know that whenever something goes up, whatever goes up must come down is what they say. So at some point, it's going to probably bust. But with annuities, when that happens, you don't have to worry about it because you have that stopgap. So as the market goes up, your annuity goes up. But if the market crashes, say on Monday, just hypothetically, your annuity won't. It will maintain. Am I saying it the right way?
That's right. And the good thing about annuities, when it goes up, it can't go back down. It will lock it in at the end of the year.
Wow.
So whatever you've made all year, at the end of the year, they lock your gains in. The interest is put in your account, and we start over again.
Wow.
That's what I love about annuities. Once you get that, they're going to lock it in at the end of the year, and you're not going to have a loss.
Mm. Yeah, you don't have to worry about. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night and say, wow, when is this train going to end? Because you've got that stopgap. And so you protect your principal, right?
I think. That's right.
Okay.
And it's compound interest. It's tax deferred. I mean, I can't see anything wrong with that at all. If you can grow your money tax deferred, it's really a great deal because everything else, CDs that you make money on, you pay taxes on then, but you don't with annuities.
Yeah.
You do not pay till you start taking it out. And then you can take money out once a year. You can take 10% a year out. It's a positive thing every way in the world. And remember, it's never in the stock market. It just mirrors the stock market. It goes along with the stock market. As long as the stock market's making money, you're making money. If the stock market stops, this just puts on hold. It doesn't go down.
Yeah.
And I love an investment that can't go down.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
I mean, we need more of those. And the bonuses are great. I went back and looked at some of my old customer statements. And, years ago, there were no bonuses. They never even heard of a bonus. So you make whatever you make, and that was it. But nowadays, they're offering bonuses, which are great. And as long as it's a index annuity, a fixed index annuity, you've got it made.
Yeah.
We don't do variables because a variable has actual mutual funds in it.
Yeah.
So you can lose money. But with this one, there's no losses. If it gains, you make money. If it doesn't, it just sits still and goes on to the next year, which is a great thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, my goodness. I mean, what I can't seem to find any kind of downside to annuities. I mean, gosh, if you can have the thrill of the stock market without the risk of losing everything, why? I mean, who wouldn't want that? I mean, it's just like the best of the best. It's the best of all worlds.
And then you always want to make sure you're with an A or an A-plus company. That's real important. Make sure it's an A-plus company. Make sure they've been in business a long time. You don't want to buy an annuity in a brand-new company and everybody says, oh, this is great. Look at what they'll pay. Well, if they're brand new, we don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
We don't know their ability to pay. So we want a company that's been in business 50 years, 100 years. We want one that's worth billions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
And we check them out before we take them. And we look it up and see what their rating is. And we look to see how much money they've got.
Oh, yeah, you that's know? Important. Mm-hmm.
Last year, people brought me a brand new company and said, oh, well, their annuities are paying a lot more than yours. I looked them up and I said, we wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. You know, they're not big enough. They're brand new. They have no track record.
Yeah. And I mean,
we don't know how viable they are and how long they can stay in business.
And I'm glad you bring that up too, because it's not like, you know, annuities are, you know, this is a well-informed, calculated type of investment. It's not just some kind of, hey, let's just jump on the next bandwagon or the next shiny object, or, you know, it's a very well-informed. You're going to make sure that all the decisions you make are based on data, historical performance. That way you have some kind of an idea. It reduces the risk. It's not like, you know, like when crypto first came out and people are like, oh my gosh, we got to get on the crypto wagon. Well, there's still not data that shows that that's a great option. Most people don't even understand what it is. So, you know, you're taking all that risk out of the unknown. And by having such a calculated, well-informed type of investment, it just seems like people are just, they continue to thrive no matter what with annuities.
Well, and speaking of those cryptos, you know, they've talked to people investing in some of them, and they weren't real.
Ooh.
It was a scam.
Oh.
Now, a lot of them are real, and they're working. But how many people can tell you how it really works?
Nobody knows.
I mean, you can't see it. You can't touch it. If it goes down, how do you get your money out? I mean, I don't understand it. And I think unless you're on the other side, you don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit abstract, maybe the way to put it. So, annuity is definitely the way to go, especially with the bonuses holding steady, the way that everything else is performing, and with those rates going up. it just gets better and better. I wasn't expecting things to go this good at this time of this year. So,
I wasn't either. I thought that we were going to lose the bonus, and they'd already said the fixed rates were going down on those type policies. And heck, since presidency has been cemented in, everything's going back up.
Yeah.
So that's really a good thing. And on our life settlements, you know, I think we'll finish the year good. I think we'll have more maturities. You know, we always have quite a few maturities at the end of the year. And I think we're going to get some good policies. We're going to get people in them before the end of the year. And then we'll have our investments set for the coming year.
Yeah. Yeah. And the great thing is, you know, I know there's been a lot of uncertainty over the last several months, and people were, you know, really unsure what was going to happen and how things were going to play out. It looks like they're playing out great in the general landscape altogether. But specifically speaking with annuities and life settlements, even if something were to happen, say, next week, anybody who is in either of these investments doesn't have to worry about losing their principal. And that's the great thing. It's so conservative. People don't have to get up in the middle of the night wondering if there's anything left in their portfolio. They're both conservative. They're both well-informed. And people have weathered the storm. Not only have they weathered storms of things that have happened over the last, you know, decade or two, whether it's a crash or something happens overseas or whatever, usually in the cases where people are in these types of conservative investments, they're thriving. They're actually making money when other people are losing it. So
that's right. And it's a conservative approach. And if everybody would stay with conservative investments, they'll come out ahead. all the annuity companies this week were sending out messages about widows, and they were talking about widows and what happens when the husband dies. They said, first of all, the women are not informed by the husbands. They're not telling them how that the annuities and life settlements work. And the men handle it. They die, and the woman has the old broker, friendly broker, come by. And the old broker says, well, you need to be in the stock market, ma'am. Oh. I'm going to make you rich.
Oh.
And they drop everything. They cash out. They go to the stock market. And it said, you know, widows need to be better informed, and they wouldn't make these rash decisions. And it said they leave whoever they're with when the husband's alive within a year. Within 1 year, they all go to something new and wonderful.
Yeah.
And we don't know how their investments have performed. I would love to know.
I know.
I would love for widow to tell me when they moved their money how well they did.
Yeah, it seems like you've actually heard a couple of firsthand horror stories of people who have done
that.
I have. And so it's always risky when that happens. So
and when they lose half of their portfolio, you know, and then they come back to us, well, can you help me, you know?
Yeah, well, but once you lose half your portfolio, I mean, it's going to take time to build that back
up. It's hard.
Yeah, it is.
We have one widow that took her money out. And, you know, he was a very conservative guy, been with us for years. She goes and starts building this huge home and, you know, taking money out as fast as she can get it to build her this big house.
Ooh.
He didn't want a big house. It was comfortable. He was making money. He was very conservative. But she's went crazy. And now she's went to the bank and asked him to loan her money because she spent all the annuities and the life settlements, and they turned her down, by the way.
Oh, no.
They were smart. They go, this way, lady is out of control.
Wow. That's
and
just...
I don't know how it'll end.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really curious how that deal's going to end up.
My gosh. It's almost like a giant game of chutes and ladders, and she just hit the chute. Oh.
That's it. I mean, his house wasn't good enough. They lived in it all those years. Was not good enough. She had to make a statement. So she's building this big, huge home, and there's nobody going to be living there but her, and she's going to spend every dime that he had accumulated on that dadgum house.
Wow. What a shame. It's like, you know.
I mean, it's just not using your head.
Yeah. Golly. It's like, you know, all those years of getting established and set up and then just to so quickly to pull your own rug out from under your own feet. That's heartbreaking.
They do. They just know that these men, when they tell them all this, is telling the truth,
yeah,
that they're going to make them rich, bring me that money fast, and let's go.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah, it's just another reminder of always be careful with stuff like that. So, boy, that's heartbreaking.
They take 1,000% risk.
They do. And the sad thing is it took, you know, a number of years of all this kind of planning that we're talking about, you know, the steady kind of, you know, building and the steady portfolio over all these years. And then all of a sudden, boom, almost virtually overnight, it's all gone. And so, golly, that's terrible to hear.
Yeah, it breaks my heart to think the man worked that many years, was conservative. His investments were solid with us. He made a lot of money. He got cancer. He died within 3 months. And apparently he didn't talk to her.
Oh.
I mean, these men are not telling their wife, I've got it arranged. I've got it solid. Just stick with it. Fail, make you some money.
Yeah.
And it's solid. Your principal's guaranteed. But no, they run out here and do something that's so wild I just can't imagine.
Well, then maybe the moral of the story is that people should maybe sit down, have a conversation and say, look, this is what's going on. Here's what we've been doing. Here's where we're going. That way everybody knows what's happening. And so they don't make rash decisions when things happen to undo all that. So
that's right. It would be good if and of course, the annuity company says, you know, somebody should be talking to them. But how can you talk to someone that's determined to get in on these fast deals.
Yeah.
Fast deals.
That's it. fast deals are usually not good deals. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. It's got a lot of good things. People should go there every once in a while, look things up. You can look life settlements up. You can look annuities up. You can become better informed if you're not already a customer.
Yeah, it's chock full of information. So very good resource. Every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Clint Black. You remember Clint Black?
Love Clint Black. Yes.
Me too. I love him too. Where do you think Clint Black was born?
Oh, Texas someplace. I can't remember where. But...
No, it was born in New Jersey.
Are you serious? No.
Yeah.
Oh.
But when he was 1 year old, the family came to Texas. He was raised in Katy, Texas. And at 14, he wrote his first song. Did you know that?
Really? 14? Wow.
And at that age, his parents started noticing his voice. And by 15, he learned to play guitar. And as a teenager, him and his older brothers formed a little band. So on Saturday afternoons, they would have maybe 70 people come over to listen to these boys sing.
Wow, that's pretty good for being that young. That's a.
It was very good to be that young. And then when they saw that he was talented, they decided to focus on country music in the early 80s. And he was singing like George Strait, Reba McEntire, but he wasn't there yet. So he was doing construction work. He was a bait cutter and a fishing guide. And he was just singing at lounges, a solo singer and a guitarist. And in 1987, one of the gigs he did, he met Hayden Nicholas. And they connected. They started writing songs together. They had a partnership for many decades. Then in the 80s, he delivered a demo of their songs. And it was Nobody's Home.
Ooh.
Yeah, remember that?
Yes.
And within 2 days of that delivery, he was invited to a meeting with Bill Ham, who managed ZZ Top.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. So in October of 87, they signed him at RCA. And of course, RCA was one of the most aggressive labels back then, you know. And his first album was Killing Time.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And four of the songs that he wrote by himself, and the others were written with his other partners. But he used his own road band. He didn't use a studio musicians to do all that.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the Killing Time was a critical success. It reached number one on the country billboards. It was certified platinum in 1990.
Wow.
And then he made his official debut in 89 with A Better Man. Remember that one?
That was a great song, yes.
And, of course, it hit number one. And that marked the first time in 14 years that a single by a male artist had peaked at the top of the chart. In total, five singles off his album reached number one.
Wow.
And that's how good he was just coming out the gate from the time he was 14 years old. In 1990, the Los Angeles Times surveyed all these country music insiders and said, which artist is expected to sell the most records over the next 7 years? He placed second behind Garth Brooks.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And 10 of the top 20 artists were all newcomers in the industry. Mm. And, of course, country music had been dominated all that time by all these other people. And Newsweek said, good song, good voice, and a hot band.
Yeah. Now, that's true. The band make, you know, it can, people don't always pay attention to the band, but, boy, that can make or break a live show. And if they're doing the same thing on the road as they're doing in the studio, they have that tightness that you don't always get by splitting it.
And I didn't know he's been a member of the Grand Ole Opry since 1991.
Really? 91?
I didn't even know that about him.
I didn't know that either. Interesting.
Yeah. And the song he wrote in 1997, Nothing But the Tail Lights, then they made no attempt to change his sound. But it was less country than his previous efforts.
Yeah.
And then his lead-off single was Still Holding On. And he made that with Martina McBride.
Yes. Great song.
And then the next two singles, Loosen Up My Strings and You Don't Need Me Anymore. All these songs that he did, you know, he got so many gold albums, all this other, it's amazing. But then you come to 1999. Do you remember who his wife is?
Yes, Lisa Hartman.
Lisa Hartman. They had their first child, and it was her name was Lily Pearl Black. And did you know he took off 3 years to stay home with his little girl?
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He said it wasn't a smart career move, but it was a real smart dad move.
Yeah. Well, I mean, gosh, and, by then, what does he have to prove at that point? Wow.
Yeah, and he said, you know, he formed his own record label. He didn't like the way they were treating people, and it was called Equity Music Group. Mm. And he said it was difficult to leave RCA because he'd been with them 14 years. He sold over 20 million records at RCA.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Man. And then he came out with that album, and I don't remember exactly what year it was. I want to say it was around, I don't know, maybe 2000-ish, give or take. The album, I think it was an acoustic album, and I think his wife was on a couple of songs, I think.
From That's right. He did the acoustical one after, and that was in 1999. It was called The Electrified.
Yes, that's what it was. Yes.
And they said it was full and brash since he used creative arrangements and a horn section even.
Yeah, it was very different.
And three of the songs were remakes of some of his singles.
Mm-hmm.
And he had guests on it like Waylon Jennings, Kenny Loggins, and Eric Idle.
Yes, yeah.
And I didn't even remember that. But by the way, he's appearing tonight in Fort Worth at Billy Bob's.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But you know how many Grammy Awards he won?
Oh, my gosh. How many?
Okay, about 10.
Oh, wow.
The first Grammy was in 1990 for Killing Time, A Better Man. In 1992, it was Hold On, Partner.
Wow.
In 1994, it was A Bad Goodbye.
Oh,
1997, that's... Like the Rain. In 98, it was Something That We Do. Nothing But the Tail Lights in 1999. And 2005, it was Hey, Good Looking.
Oh, wow.
Remember he went back and did that one?
I'd forgotten about that one.
He won so many American Music Awards from 1990 to 1998. Favorite country single, favorite country male artist on most of them. It's just amazing what all he's done.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I mean, you start naming off all these songs, it's like, man, I just want to, you know, start pulling out the old songs and just start playing them all again. I'd forgotten about all these things. This is just...
Yeah.
It's one of these things where, you know, he came out, what, 87, I think you said, ish, something like that. And that was right around the time where, you know, we started to see that country music explosion. You know, it's just like all the Clint Blacks, the Garth Brooks, the Alan Jacksons, and all these different, it was the resurgence of country. So, you know, coming out at the right place at the right time, at the exact, with the right, I don't want to say the right look, but the right everything. And it was all about, you know, timing. And it's just, I mean, he hit it exactly when he was supposed to and made the most
well,
of it.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is he did a lot of television. Nobody even remembers, I don't think, all of that. Starting in 2003, he started appearing on a lot of things. He appeared on National Star. appeared on ABC in a sitcom, Hope and Faith, Hope and Faith to get Randy, you know, and Secret Talents of the Stars. So he was even on Celebrity Apprentice.
Really? I'd forgotten about that. Wasn't he in a, I think he was in a movie, I can't remember. I feel like he was in a movie, but maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. I don't know. He's just done so much. It's like it's hard to keep up with Clint Black's career.
That's right. He's had a fabulous career. He's a fabulous singer. Obviously, a fabulous father.
Yes. How many
people would take off 3 years to raise a little baby?
I know it. Right at the height like that, just to walk away from it?
Oh, yeah, the height of his career. Oh. And he said it wasn't a good move, you know, money-wise, but it was a good dad time.
Well, that's what's most important. So, I mean, golly.
But I knew they were really family people from the time they got married.
Yeah.
They were, you know, really good people. They weren't those flash in the pans.
Yeah, yeah. Good, solid people, you know, talented people, and it's just like...
Very talented.
When you see... And he's got great character, too, obviously. So.
Yeah, his character really stands out.
Yeah, wow. I'd forgotten about Clint Black. I just hadn't thought about him in forever. Now I want to go up, pull a bunch of Clint Black songs and listen again. Wow.
That's it.
I can't believe he was born in New Jersey, though. That shocked me.
Yeah, in New Jersey. But he left there as a baby. He left there. He doesn't even remember New Jersey.
Well, good.
That's it. He doesn't even remember that experience.
That's how it should be. Oh, my. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
All right, before we wrap, real quick, there are two risks that people need to know about with a life settlement. What is the first?
If it goes over, you have to pay premium, okay? So the chance of it going over is not great, but you need to always know what the premium would be, okay? So we always tell you that up front, what the premium is.
Cool. All right, and the second?
The second is it is not liquid until it matures.
Okay.
So, you know, people might think, well, we'll get interest quarterly or something. That's not true. You get your interest at the end. When you get your principal back, you also get your interest.
And one does need to be accredited in order to do a life settlement, so that means?
You must be accredited. You must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
Cool. All right. So for people to call, get started, get more information, they do need to set up an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.